hope you get to know me a little bit. You know, I moved to New York City when I was 24 because I wanted to be a Broadway star. That was my goal. That was my plan. And before that time, though, when I was growing up, I was really trying to figure out who God was. I almost drowned when I was 7. I had an experience under the water where I felt like the presence of God. After that, I mean, they couldn't find me. I almost died. And it was a lake, you know. But anyway, in that whole experience, I always, after that, was wanting to be close to God and seeking God. And growing up in a church where the Bible was never really opened hardly, they maybe read this much, and I wanted to know. I bought a Bible. I didn't know how to read it. And I would try to read in Genesis, and it would say so-and-so begat so-and-so, and I'd get discouraged, and I would put it down, and I'd feel overwhelmed, and I would try to find a church. I was hopping around to churches at 16, trying to find one that would teach me. I was so hungry. And then I gave up, because I couldn't find any church that I felt was what I was looking for, but I didn't really know what I was looking for. And then when I moved, well, after that, I kind of went a little crazy in my life. Did all the things I said I'd never do. You know, the men and alcohol and all that kind of stuff. Stuff that college brings out, right? This was after college for me. I went a little crazy. By the time I moved to New York City to be a star, I stayed with a friend of mine who brought me to this church. And I'll never forget, I was sitting in the Sunday service going, it was like I was 16 again. I'm like, wait, this is it. This is the church I've been looking for. Because I learned more about the Bible in one service than I had ever learned. I was so amazed. I was like, please, somebody. And my friend said, do you want to learn more about the Bible? And I was like, please. And I was so grateful that someone would sit down and help me know where to start reading and how the Bible is meant to be something that we apply in our lives. And I was so thrilled to learn. It was like a new lease on life. It was what I was hungry for. I finally felt like I really got to know God, started building my own faith, my own relationship with God, and I was baptized in 1986.
Wow.
So it's been like, what, 30, what is that now? 33? Almost 33 in November. 33 years ago. And my life's so different because of it. And I think about how sometimes in life, we're just rushing down a path. You know, you get busy with school and all this stuff, and you don't stop and think, who am I becoming? What kind of person am I actually becoming?
Right.
And I remember I got to this point right before I moved to New York, where I was doing things, I was like, I remember thinking, how did I get to be this person? I don't know. I always said I didn't like these people, and I don't want them. I was just so scared of, if I have to do this, what else will I do? What else am I capable of? I remember it was just a wake-up call for me. And so really learning God's plan for my life was so transforming. And, you know, I'll tell you, it's the best thing you could ever do if you've never studied the Bible and dug in and figured out, how do I read this? Where do I start? How do I apply this in my life? People here will love to help you because that's what we're all about as a church.
Yeah. And
so that being said, I was single when I became a Christian. And, you know, I had a lot of experience with dating in the world. And the class they wanted me to talk about was spiritual dating. What is that? And I'll never forget how excited I was when I realized that it's so different with men and women when they're committed to following Jesus. That dating doesn't have to be like what we see on TV, what we see on our campuses, what we see in the world. That relationships can be spiritual and they can be close and pure. And you can actually have relationships with guys that aren't having an agenda, looking to have sex with you and looking to see what they can get out of you. They actually just want to encourage you spiritually and get to know you and maybe share your faith together and help one another spiritually. Like, I didn't know that existed.
Right.
I didn't know people really took the Bible that seriously and could actually just really try to live by it. So when it comes to dating, it makes dating radically different. It changes the culture completely. So the culture in our church is one where we go, let's just date guys that we know have the same standards we do. Let's just date people that we know want to follow God. And so it's fun because we, this might sound weird to some of you that are visiting, but we kind of created a culture where we just build friendships. And we're just going out on dates. Somebody asks one of these girls on a date from our church, and they're not asking them because they like them or they have a crush on them. They're saying, I don't know you that well. Let's get together. And dating is something different. It's not what the world calls dating. It's actually called, I call it extended fellowship. But you guys call it encouragement dates. There is no biblical word for dating because it didn't really happen. Marriages were arranged. So you can't look up dating in the Bible, but you can look up relationships. You can look up purity. You can look up these things. And so the whole idea of dating in our church is building godly, spiritual relationships with the opposite sex. And so we provide lots of opportunities. You guys have group dates where you're getting to know, and then the next week you're on a date with somebody else, and you're just getting to know people, building a foundation of relationships. So why do we do that? What's the importance of dating? Let's look in Hebrews chapter 3.
Come on, Teresa.
A little intro for some of you that might not know why I was teaching dating this way. I felt like I needed to set it up a little bit. But in Hebrews 3, in verse 12 and 13, it says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." So, the first point I want to make, why date, is we need great friendships with our brothers in Christ. We need great friendships. And part of that is encouraging one another. You know how encouraging it is when you have someone that spurs you on and gives you hope when you're discouraged and really is there for you. This is what our girlfriend relationships are like. We're trying to encourage. You guys are probably good at that with each other. How are you doing? You're helping each other. You're encouraging one another. But you know, we need that with the brothers too. We need that with the guys. Sometimes I'll come in here and I'll see when the fellowship, there's girls talking and there's guys talking. And sometimes in the seating, it's a girl's row and then it's a guy's row. Have you ever noticed that you guys do that?
Yeah.
You guys got to mix it up. You got to purposely, like, sit in between brothers or sit or go and fellowship some of the guys in the fellowship. How are you doing? Well, sometimes we get so focused on encouraging our sisters, we're not mixing it up enough. We get like Amish or something. Completely understand some of that. You know, I've been married 25 years, almost 26 years.
Yeah.
And there's still times that I go, oh, I just don't get it. How can I get it? I understand it better now, but we're different. But what is cool about that is there's things that you can get from relationships with brothers that you won't get from your sisters, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. They're going to get from you. You know, we have a little more of the emotional side and sensitivity and stuff. We can help them with that part of it, right? But they can be very objective and clear and not make emotional rash decisions. And we sometimes need their guidance in those kinds of things. You know, it's a great give and take. We need that. And I think of it sometimes like they're half of the body of Christ. We can't neglect them. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons we need to spend time with them. Mm-hmm. Is some people go, I don't want to date, you know. I'll talk about that in a second. So, but it says we need to encourage one another daily so that we don't get hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And I think this applies with if we don't spend time with our brothers, we can get hardened by sin's deceitfulness. I know that at school you probably got a lot of guys that aren't Christians at all that say you're so beautiful and they're pursuing you a little bit, or hey girl, you know. And sometimes we like that attention.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we kind of get tempted by that.
Yeah.
Right? Ain't no brothers looking at me like that, are you? Aren't you glad, though, that they're looking at you with purity and respecting you and treating you with such respect, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes we really kind of want that attention, right? And we can start to get hard. If we're not spending enough time with our brothers, we can start thinking that that worldly guy looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
We get deceived by it. I remember a period when I was a single when I stopped going on as many dates and these guys started coming after me, like pursuing me hard. And he had all this charm and I was working at a restaurant. He was funny. It was all the things I was kind of like hoping in my head for. And I was telling my friend, I'm like struggling a little bit with all this attention. And then I said, okay, God, show me his true colors so I don't even struggle with this. And the next day I figured out he was an alcoholic.
Oh,
and
wow.
He had a kid. And wow. He didn't ever see his kid. And I was like, whoo, all right. Not even a temptation. You know what I'm saying? When you have these amazing brothers and you're actually spending time with them, those I'm not going to remember anyways. Okay. One reason maybe you're not going on that many dates is maybe you're waiting for the guys to plan everything. Maybe that's the culture you guys have, but when I was growing up in the church single, I didn't have any problem planning dates. I'm going to make it happen then. Let me plan a pasta Pictionary party. I'm going to get two other sisters. We're going to invite three brothers. And then we're just going to like figure out who each other's date is when we get there. We'll have a game. You can play those games where they have to pick something. Oh, like, you're my date because that was the thing I brought. You know, have you ever heard of that? Where, like everybody, the girls bring like a little gift and they pick one of them. And okay, so that's fine. Now you're my date. Like, it's fun.
It's nice. I like that idea.
Let's have a group slice of pizza after the midweek with three, you know, and have like short 1-hour dates. It's like cheap. It doesn't have to wait till the weekend. How about if we plan like a little short thing after midweek or with three sisters and three brothers together? Go do something like that. You can get so creative. You don't have to wait till somebody organizes it. I think that's great. And I would like doing that because I could invite guys I didn't know as well that I wanted to get to know and encourage them. I think another reason that some people maybe don't want to go on the dates is I never get asked, well, there aren't any brothers I want to hang with, or I'm not interested in anybody, and that's not the point. See, if it's about building relationships with sisters, would you use those reasons? Like, well, no sister ever asked me to spend time with them, and there aren't any sisters to be friends with, and I'm not really interested in being friends with any of these sisters. You'd be worried if somebody was saying that stuff. We shouldn't be saying that about the brothers either, because the whole point is building friendships. If there's no ulterior motive, it's a beautiful thing, right? So I think it's because we can still think of dating in a worldly way, because that word dating just brings all that stuff.
Yeah.
And we need to change our worldly thinking about dating as a Christian.
Yeah.
I think how we think about dating starts with our goal in dating. Sometimes our goal is, I want to have a boyfriend like Abby. Why would that be the wrong goal? Because here's the results. If that's the goal, then you're only going out with future boyfriend types. Maybe you're going to have unrealistic expectations for the date. Maybe you're going to judge and measure them up on each date. Could I really be his girlfriend? You know, that's your focus, is you and what you want. And it makes us more insecure if we're not asked out because we're looking for that boyfriend. We can become desperate stalkers in fellowship. When we have lunch, we're following him around. Trying to force our will, we're going to make this happen. Okay? Have you ever felt like that? I got to take this into my own hands. All right. But it's going to lead to bitterness, especially if you're disappointed and you have this whole agenda. And it's going to lead to resentment or disappointment or maybe even criticalness of them. Maybe a complaining negative attitude about them. Because the whole focus is, I want this certain thing. I'm looking for what I want. Instead of the goal that it should be, which is strong, lasting friendships. To serve and encourage my brothers. This is why I'm spending time with them. Think about it. What could be a bad result of that goal? I just want strong, lasting friendships. And I want to serve and encourage my brothers. The focus becomes outward. Because you're happy because you're thinking about encouraging them or meeting their needs and giving, being like Christ, you know, baking them cookies, you know, doing little things just to make them happy. Friendships grow, and there's nothing to be disappointed in because you're not having this unrealistic expectation of where this is going to go. The dates don't have pressure because you're not trying to figure out, is this my boyfriend? You're just there to encourage and build the friendship. And there's no unrealistic expectations. It's just enjoying those relationships. It makes it so fresh. And I'm speaking from experience because I went through a period where I wanted to find my husband. You know, where is he, God? And my whole dating experience went down the tubes. It was bad. It was bad. When I finally surrendered and said, Lord, forget it. rest of my life, and so be it. I'm trusting you because your will is better than mine. Okay, so if that's what your will is, I'm letting this go. Then I just started having a blast again, and I realized it was all about my heart and my attitude about dating. I just needed to enjoy my brothers. We had so much fun after that. So, and what an honor it is to build relationships with them, to have that joy and blessing of pure relationships with the opposite sex. You have to remember, women in the world have never experienced what you take.
Right.
What is normal for you right now is not normal out there. There's no such thing as this kind of spiritual relationship with a guy that has no agenda and you're really just trying to help each other spiritually and they're not trying to do anything. It's like, this is so different. We need to be so grateful we have this.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
And I'm giving a lot of practical advice. I am reading the Bible again. I realize it's kind of spread out my Bible. It's coming. All right. So, but here's the thing. When you have a date with guys, you've got to make sure there's time for you to have with your date, because sometimes there's a group of you, time to have some talk, time to talk and really say, have a spiritual conversation. And sometimes even in fellowship here, there's opportunities to do that. Things like, what can I pray for you? Is there something I can pray for you? That's an amazing opportunity to give, because they're going to share something they need prayers for and you can learn from them that they really need. And it turns into a really great spiritual conversation. You can share things you need prayers for. Sometimes maybe people have taught you different questions that they've asked on dates that have helped them get to know someone. Like, what's your best spiritual strength? What do you think is one of your greatest spiritual strengths? Now, that's a good question. And you can really encourage them about that. Like, you're trying to get to know them on a spiritual level. You know, who's your favorite Bible character? Or, you know, why do you like them? Just having some talks where you're really getting into some spiritual stuff, too. And not the whole time doesn't have to be that. Obviously, it can be, tell me about your family or how you grew up. I mean, it can be, obviously, everything doesn't have to center around that. But it's great to kind of get to know them on a spiritual level a little bit and to be purposeful about asking some of those kinds of questions, too. But maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, she doesn't understand. I know who God wants me to be with, and he just doesn't know it yet, and he's perfect for me. And God's made it so clear to me. He's just not interested in me yet. And I'm going to help this along and make it happen. Why is that a bad idea? Look at Isaiah 55. Come on. Sometimes we are so sure, right? Isaiah 55.
I'm not. Give me more.
It's okay to pray about it. I'm not saying maybe you're right, but hey.
Yes, sir.
Maybe you're not. All right. Isaiah 55, verse 8. This is God speaking. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts."
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
That's a humbling passage. It's like, you think you know. You know how much higher my knowledge and wisdom is than yours? So much higher. We see about this much, you know, through a tiny little peephole like this. God has a whole big picture. And we're going, no, I know, I know, I can see it, I can see it. And he's going, oh, you don't see it. So we think we know, you know, who we need and who needs us. But God knows you better than you even know yourself. And he knows them better than they know themselves, right? He knows those brothers so well. Why would you want to be the matchmaker when God, the creator of the universe, whose wisdom and knowledge exceed your own, could be your matchmaker? Why wouldn't you want his leadership in this area of your life rather than your own? Why would we opt for my will rather than his will? His will is so much better. Even if it's not the same as ours, later you'll realize, oh, it is better, so much better. I had so many unrequited crushes in my life as a single. Like, I just get so, like, this brother is so special, oh my gosh. He's so special. And then I'd start noticing that he'd go on these dates more often with this particular girl, and I'd be like, oh. I think he likes her. He's going out with her more and more. And then, of course, I was right. And it would always happen over and over and over again. Maybe some of you can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. makes a lot of sense because they're amazing guys. You know, they're godly guys, they're great guys. But we still have to trust God. Yeah. I remember my roommates and I would have sometimes the same crush on somebody. We would talk about it. And it's so weird, right? Because a lot of times you think, I don't want to tell my roommate, I don't want to hurt her, you know, or I don't. And it's like, no, we just got real. We're like, yeah, isn't he awesome? I had a date with him too. And I know this sounds weird if you're a visitor here, but this is our culture. Well, because the dates don't mean that they like you. You're just going out and having fun. So I'd be like, oh, I had a group date with them too, and he's so great. And so then I'd be like, okay, we're just gonna pray about it. Because look, we both would realize if God wants him to be with you, then he's gonna end up with you. Mm-hmm. If he wants him to be with me, he's gonna end up with me. Whoever. So we would pray, God, you know who he needs, and you know who we need. So you just lead it. We're just gonna be his friend and not worry about it. Yeah. And sometimes it was hard. Yeah. I'd still battle it sometimes. Because I always picked them up. Every time. And I'd be like, what's wrong? Am I so ugly? Am I so unattractive? What am I doing wrong? I mean, you know, everybody goes through that stuff. But what I would also realize is, in the meantime, how I built so many amazing friendships through that. Mm-hmm. Some of those guys that picked somebody else are still buddies of mine today, like Dave Mitchell.
Wow.
Such a crush on him.
That's crazy. Wild.
Yes. But I look at it and I go, of course, it doesn't even make sense to me. It doesn't even make sense to me now. But at the time you couldn't explain that to me, because God knows better. You know what I'm saying? I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
Wow. Weird.
After a while, what I would need in a committed long-term relationship. Mm-hmm. Now, if I'd only had a crush on one person and focused on that, I might not have had that perspective. But getting to know so many, I started realizing this is what is going to really help me spiritually. These relationships, this friendship, really, I'm going to need someone that can make me feel so much more secure, because I had such an insecurity at the time, and I needed someone that was expressive, and I need, you know, different thing. I needed someone strong spiritually. I knew I needed that because I was an emotional up and down at the time. I needed somebody that was steady. You know, I started realizing that because of how I was. And so when Jim came along, he stood out. And it was like, this is different. Different than all the others. It made it so clear. So God makes it clear through all of that. You know, you think, I don't see what this is all about. You know, at least I have all these great friendships. But eventually, there's someone that just stands out. And God, if that's what's meant to happen, God's meant to happen. You know, the top of your date list every week should be special dates with Jesus, though. Mm-hmm. Let me say, that's going to make any of these relationships with brothers better. I still have special dates with Jesus. Sometimes I'll take, can't do this if you're in a dorm, but I'll take a bath with some candles and sing and pray. Sometimes I'll have a date with God and go eat in the park and just pray and look at the river and talk to him and, you know, have these special, I know a friend, every birthday she spends the entire day with God doing things with God and just having a quiet time and going to pretty places and stuff. That's her special birthday thing that she does. We need that, because he's our number one. Even if you're married, it doesn't matter, because we can think, if I have this wonderful relationship with a guy someday, it's going to be everything, and it's like, no, if me and God aren't doing great, me and Jim aren't doing great. He can't be my God. He doesn't meet all those needs that God does. So that's got to be our number one. And, you know, just be inspired by that, having intimacy and oneness with him and growing deeper in your faith and your surrender to God about everything. And he's going to guide you in the rest. When we're close to him, he really is able to lead us better in all of our relationships. Have you ever thought, though, like what I said before, what's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. You're really insecure. You don't feel pretty. You feel like, okay, I had all of that. So the other thing is, we need to see ourselves through God's eyes. Look in Psalm 139. how we need to see ourselves. This is how God sees us, as fearfully and wonderfully made. He says, one, and then wonderful words, my soul knows it very well. Does your soul know that very well about you, that you are amazing, that you are a work of art, that you're fearfully and wonderfully made by God, that you are so precious? We have to find our security in how God guides us, how God loves us and sees us, not in how a guy guides us or loves us or sees us. And sometimes, maybe even before you had a relationship with God, it was all about, you got your feeling of attractiveness from attention from God, or if they looked at you, or if they asked you out, or whatever, and that made us feel valuable. We need to feel valuable no matter what, because of how God views us. Some of us need to feel noticed or pursued or asked out in order to feel pretty or confident. And that's going to come and that's going to go. So if you're depending on that for your own security, you're going to be like, ooh, all over the place, right? Instead of knowing, no, wait, I have to see myself through God's eyes. You are the king's daughters. Jesus is the king, right? You're his daughters. His precious princesses, right? Did you ever think of yourself that way? Can you imagine God's kingdom and he's the king and you come in and he sees us as his like precious princesses, you're royal? Like, do you ever think about, like, if you really were a royal princess, it would just give you some extra boost, right? Like, I'm a princess, right? But you are! You are! And he designed each of you as unique, precious individuals. I think of it sort of like a jewel, like a precious jewel with so many facets that as you glorify God and reflect him, it's just so much sparkle going on. Because as you're growing and trying to reflect Jesus and all these facets and all of your strengths, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Haven't you ever noticed that? That Christians are just beautiful. There's a joy and a glow. And we just sit there and pick apart our face in the mirror and we're not getting it. That's somebody doesn't see that lump on your wherever nose or whatever. They see you. They see you glow. They see your joy. They see your faith. They see your love. You're more than just your features. You glow. You bring so much light to this world. And God is enamored with you because he created you. And I think about that as a mom. I'm enamored with my kids. I just think, oh, that JD. Ooh. I love his joy, I love his smile, I love his spirit, he's just so happy. My daughter Mackenzie, she's so creative, she's so beautiful, she's so compassionate and kind. You know, I just could go on and on about them, and I think that's how God feels about me and you. Mm-hmm. It's like you're so precious to him. So you don't need a boyfriend to believe that. You don't need a guy's attention to believe that. No more. Know who you are, girl, princess, precious jewel. Come on! Just think, woo, he loves me, I'm awesome to him. That's what I need to know.
Amen.
Right? So, and we also need to set an example in these relationships with our brothers in purity. Mm-hmm. Look in Psalm 119. By living according to your word, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, God really calls for godly relationships to be pure, which is radically different than what we have in the world, right? In other words, no sex outside of marriage. Some of you are going, get the dog in your arm. What did you just say?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, when I dated my husband and we were pure, and the only thing we did was hold hands, and he would, and y'all are even more radical than we were back in the day. You don't even kiss until you get married, I hear, most of the time. We would kiss, but it was like, he would preach this to the brothers, I kiss her like I kiss my grandmother.
What?
Hey, brothers, keep it pure. Kiss her like I kiss my grandmother. And it's true. If he gave me a Bible teaches about purity before marriage. But you know what that did? Oh my goodness. For those of you that this is like crazy to, our whole relationship was built on deep friendship, spiritual bonding. It wasn't the emotional and the physical. Was the emotional came in there as we got to know each other. But the physical was the last thing. It was like when we got married. And it was like the most amazing thing because I felt like the whole relationship was so strong. I felt like we were so one in every way that the physical was just the final way that we would become one. And that's God's plan, is that you have such a strong foundation, such a deep relationship, because you're not focusing on the physical. In the world, they focus on the physical and then the emotional, and the spiritual is the last thing to come into it if it does at all. Mm. But in God's kingdom, he wants it to be that it's spiritual first, emotional starts coming in, and the physical is the last thing. And it's amazing because it builds such a foundation and such a purity that, I mean, my husband was a Christian 12 years before he got married. I was almost 7. And he talks about how he was a Christian in the prime of his life when most guys are, you know, going crazy. And he was pure that whole time. You know what security that gives me as a wife? Because he stayed pure for God in his life. He had no sexual relations until he was married to me once he had become a Christian because of his respect and awe for God. I'm not worried about him cheating on me. I'm not worried about, because he has this kind of an integrity and faith in God. He has such a trust. See, this is how God wants these relationships to be built. Yeah. And it's a beautiful thing. But it starts with the little boundaries, because once, you know, how many of you are having a steady boyfriend at this point, like you're dating somebody steady? Okay, 1, 2, 3 of you? Okay. So once Jim and I were boyfriend and girlfriend, we just decided on boundaries that we were comfortable with, like holding hands, you know, that kind of thing, and just a little grandma kiss once in a while when he decided. And sometimes he'd say, if I let go of your hand, don't ask me why. You just let me let go of your hand, you know, and I was like, okay. You know, because he didn't want to talk about it, you know, and I'm like, okay. But before that, before we were actually boyfriend and girlfriend, we didn't talk about our feelings. We didn't talk about how we liked one another. We just kept building a friendship. We just kept building a friendship. It was kind of a given that we kind of liked each other. But we didn't talk about all those emotions. We just kept building a friendship and started going out on dates more frequently and building a stronger friendship. It was when he asked me to be his girlfriend that he expressed more of his feelings. And that was like the next step in our relationship. But it kept us from being led by our emotions on that decision of going steady. Because that way we were really just building such a strong friendship that God made it really clear. So, you know, boundaries are a good thing because you want to limit your, some of you might want to just get on, I had a girl in our ministry that I found out she was on the phone all night with a brother. Ooh. And they didn't sleep. Because she's a young Christian. She didn't know any better. I was like, you know, that's not a good idea. We started talking about why, because, you know, people are more vulnerable late at night and cause all these struggles, and it's like, you don't want to do that. So you got to have, you know, smartness about the kind of relationships that you're building and not be talking for hours and hours on the phone. You know, build it slow, build it steady, really get to know these guys. In a way where you're just seeking advice about it. You know, if you start really going out more often with somebody, you kind of sense they're interested and you're not sure, you know, get some advice about how to handle that. Because I remember, I just didn't know always what to do, but I remember when Jim and I were dating, we were never alone in an apartment together where anything could happen. We were never sitting alone in a car. Like, if we were in a car together, it was moving, and then when it stopped, we got out of the car.
Right.
You know, and you know, like I said, we held hands. I felt like a little junior high school student. I was so happy holding his hand. I'm like, I feel like I'm a little kid again. It's so beautiful and pure. But anyway, so I think we just have to stay, you know, surrender. That God knows exactly what we need in these relationships. And I remember when I was dating Jim, I kept praying, even when we were boyfriend and girlfriend, God, if I'm not best for him or he's not best for me, you stop this. Yeah. Even when we were engaged, I was like, for either of us. Because when you do get to the point where you have someone that's your boyfriend, what you want to look for is, are we best for one another? Are we stronger because we're together? Are we growing stronger spiritually because of our relationship? If we're growing weaker by being together, that God's making it clear maybe this isn't a good thing. Like, because you're looking to glorify God through these relationships.
Yeah.
So, obviously, we just need God's leadership in this area of our lives. Following Him, trusting Him, having fun. I always think of things like making it happen with dating, things like organizing group dates, fun events, things you could do. I don't know what fun things there are to do in New Jersey, and organizing an event like that, and having everybody draw a number and figure out what their date is when they get there. I mean, sometimes that's fun because then you're not picking the person, and God does things like that. Mm-hmm. Keeping it cheaper, like if you were going to plan it, like I said, you can, if you do cheap things, it's, you can do it more often. Like, let's go get a coffee after midweek. That's cheap. Or a soda or a juice or something. ice skating and hot chocolate. Wouldn't that be fun? You know, like, it doesn't have to be a lot of food. It can be an event. You know, don't wait around for somebody else to make it happen. It's not happening now. Get creative with your roommates. Plan like a roommate fun thing, you know, and invite some guys to come. And you'll see your friendships growing. That'll be so much fun. Does anybody have questions about any of this? Something that you want to ask about what I'm saying?
Be glad to be
recording. Sometimes maybe there's something you're like, oh no, please. I got a problem with that. Or anything. Yeah? Oh. Okay, I'll give you, she said, how do you handle them being a gentle and quiet spirit? So I was the opposite of gentle and quiet spirit. I remember somebody that talked to me about it, because I was like insecure. So when I was around the brothers, I was like, I did like in silence, and I did all the talking. And some of it was my insecurity, okay? Now, it was just, I was over the top a little bit. And somebody would tell me, okay, tone it down a little bit. You got to tone it down. What I learned was I had to get more secure. I think it's talking about a spirit of someone who can just be present, gentle and quiet spirit, and really listen and be humble and not always do all the talking. For me, I really thought a lot about that. And then I actually had a guy have me use my voice a couple of times. And that's when I realized that I wasn't a good listener. I had to like get silent for 2 weeks, and they said, don't even whisper, that's worse. And I was like, writing, and then you get writer's cramps, and then you're like, okay. So I'm like realizing at that point how much I didn't listen. And I realized how much I was missing out on. And so I started getting a lot better at just not talking so much and asking more questions and not making it all about me, myself, and I. I didn't realize it was my insecurity that made me do that. And I just tried to be like the life of the party. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes you need to like take it down a little bit and just listen, ask questions, and get to know someone. It takes listening to get to know someone, not doing all the talking. So for me, that's how I applied that scripture. But I think it's like a humility. It's like letting go of, I think it can be patience, it can be, I don't think it means that you shouldn't speak. But it's a spirit that's not always taking over the room. It's listening, that's really encouraging and helping and that kind of thing. Anybody else?
Yeah. How do you get over heartbreak?
Yeah. So I would get to that place where I would realize, okay, I said that God has a plan. I prayed that God's plan would happen. Because I was praying that helped me. Because I knew, okay, God knows what He's doing, and I don't. And I thought that person was for me. Who knows? Maybe they'll break up one day. Maybe I am the one, but I don't know. Like, I would think those thoughts, but then I'd think, no, whatever you want, God. And it was hard, but I just kept fighting to trust God. I did go through a period where I didn't. I did go through a period where I got really angry at God. And I would say bitter, because I was 29, and that's the age where that can happen. Because you're like, my biological clock is ticking. What's going to happen? Am I ever going to get married? I got scared, and I wanted to take it into my own hands. And I thought this particular brother, we ended up working in the ministry together, and I thought we were working so well together, and I was like, he's amazing. And then I found out he was about to ask somebody else to be his girlfriend, and I'm like, no. Okay, here we go again. And I just got really kind of bitter in my heart, and I had to work through it. And I actually started having a heart problem, like palpitations, and I went to a cardiologist, and he goes, are you going through a difficult time in your life right now? And I was like, he's like, you need to figure out what's stressing you out so much. And I knew what it was.
Wow.
And he kind of called me and she's like,
come on, Edie.
What did he say? And I'm like, he said I was going through this whole time. And all this stuff started coming out of my mouth. I need a vacation and I need to. And I just got really angry. And this, she goes, Teresa, you need to go have a time with God like you never had before because you are bitter. And I was up so mad. And I went back to my apartment and I had a time with God. I was swinging at him. Have you ever just gotten that real with God in a prayer? God,
yeah.
Okay, here's what's going on. I loved you on the fence, and now I'm not single man, and am I ever going to get married? And I was just telling him everything. I was like screaming and crying and walking around, thank God my roommates weren't home. I was just, it was all coming out. But after I kept listening to what was really, that I'd been stuffing in my heart, I got scared. I was like, I'm scared. I'm really in a bad place.
Yeah.
And I remember I had my brand new Bible, but I hadn't been looking at it because I was so angry and struggling. And I was like, okay, open it where you need to open it, God. Open it where you need to open it. And I opened it in Nehemiah chapter 1. And I was like, Nehemiah? I'm not close. And then I went, no, I'm going to read it. You know, Nehemiah goes up to the king and he's sad. He basically prays his prayer before that about, even if, because I was like, I'm in such a bad place. I'm so far from God. How could he ever love you? And then Nehemiah's like, you promised that even if we're as far away as the furthest horizon, that if we just turn back to you, you'll take us back. And I was like, and then he goes to the king, and the king's like, why do you look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. And I'm like, my whole relationship with God, my faith, everything changed because I finally repented. And then Jim Brown moved back to New York.
Ooh.
Right after that. And I'm like, God was like, I gotta make her heart beat really badly so that she starts to repent because she's a mess. Jim ain't gonna be interested in her if she doesn't repent. Like, it was like it came to a physical head so that I would get my act together. And he's like, but God, the guy coming back. Enjoy the process of all these amazing relationships that you get to have and just trust, okay, God, you know better than me. You're going to work this out. But don't put all your eggs in one basket now. You need to get to know all these guys and have fun, right? Anybody else have a question? I kind of went long on that one.
Okay. like when you're spending time with a brother, like how do you like stop from having a critical eye about like personality?
Sometimes we get a list in our head of what we want.
He's like this.
Okay, but don't you have like sisters that you can sort of get that way with sometimes? Like, what is she doing that for? You know, we're all different. Our personalities are so different. And how we grew up is different. And how we like to keep clean is different. Mm-hmm. And how we like to dance is different. You walk up for other at the dance, you're like, what the heck are you doing with that dance? You know, it's like, that's embarrassing. So different than you, but you gotta like appreciate it instead of be critical of it. It's like, that's just who he is. You know, if there's something that you're worried about spiritually, you know, sometimes if you have a great enough relationship, you might be able to say that was a little bit, like, I don't know what the thing would be. Sometimes I just say to somebody who's close to him, can you help him with this? But if I had a really good relationship with him, I'd be like, I don't know if that was really the best idea, or I don't think that was right what he just did, or, you know, I just gotta tell you, bro, I gotta be honest. I mean, I went up to one brother and I rebuked him because he led my roommate on and ended up asking somebody else to be his girlfriend, but he really did. I was like, you are wrong. You need to give her an apology because the way you treated her. And he's like, you're right, you're right. I knew him really well. I mean, sometimes we have, it depends on your relationship, but I think we have to just look at their, like, pray to see their qualities that are positive. Try to balance it out with what things that you appreciate about them to help your heart not to be just in a negative place. Because we're different. We're just different.
Yeah, I wanted to know like how you stayed surrendered, like even later on in the relationships.
Yeah, I just had to keep praying about that. She said, how did you stay surrendered? And I just kept giving it to God. Sometimes I had to talk to my sisters when I was struggling with it, you know, be really open about those battles. I needed those sisters that knew my uglies. I'm telling you what. And Lee Kennard is the one that knows everything about me. She can look at me, she knows what I'm thinking. We'll be like, yeah. And you need sisters like that in your life that you can tell everything to. And they, you know, that was one of the things that helped me understand God's love. Because I had people in my life that knew the worst stuff about me and still believed in me. I was like, that's how God is. He helped me understand God's love. It's like, great. Sometimes we're so afraid to like, you wouldn't want to be my friend, and it's not true. We gotta just let people in, you know, and get help with that stuff. That helped me stay surrendered too when I was battling and I needed to talk to somebody. But scriptures, you know, faith, studying out faith and trusting God, that all helped me too. Anybody else? Wait, I think one of you.
This is weird saying it out loud, but anyway. So when I'm interested in a guy, I have this fight or flight response, and I get really nervous.
I like him, so I gotta run away from him.
Yeah.
Okay. But why do you think that is?
I have no idea. It's like my nerves just get to me, and then it's like I can be normal.
So, what if instead you just went up to him? You know, not every single time you see him, but you know, like, what if you just went up to him and said, and asked him a question like I was talking about, hey, I haven't talked to you lately. What can I pray for you? Like, force yourself to just have a normal conversation, even if inside you feel nervous. Because then the conversation will go well and you'll start to realize, why am I nervous? This is just my brother. Like, sometimes you have to make yourself a little bit uncomfortable and do the opposite. Like, because what you're thinking about is yourself. But if you focus on him, how could I encourage him? Let me think about how I, let me pray about being an encourager to him. And then, ask him something, hey, I've been trying to ask different people what can I pray for them? Is there anything I could pray for you? And then start a really great conversation. Just give yourself a task of doing that every once in a while. Or just standing there if it comes up and not trying to get away.
I don't think
you
understand.
Yeah, I know. How do you like set healthy boundaries with brothers, like without like outwardly saying it with them? Because you don't want to put them in a struggle position.
Like, can you give me an example of how that would happen?
Like, if, for example, like, for me, I don't like people touching me at all. So, like, how do I, like, help
like,
me tell them?
No girl, not even girl.
Yeah, I don't like being touched sometimes. Like,
everyone okay. take note of that.
Yeah. So, like, how do you set a healthy boundary of others?
So, like, a hug is not even okay?
If it's encouraged dumb, I do it, but it's not my forte. So, like, how do you have
is
a healthy boundary?
Is there a certain brother that's more touchy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So she's saying, how do I set a boundary with someone without making it awkward? It might be awkward. You could say, bro, nothing against you, but something I'm working on, and it's hard for me. It's like hugs, physical touch, didn't grow up with that. So
yeah.
With sisters, it's easy. With brothers, it's not as easy. And you're an especially touchy kind of guy. Not in a bad way.
Yeah.
But it would help. It would help me for you to just know that that's something hard for me. Like, a little quick hug is like, okay, but it's still hard, okay? But I'm working on it. Is that okay? I just want you to know. Like, it's just kind of sharing that that's something that you're, because we want to be better at, you know, being able to show affection. But if it's something that's hard, you know, especially if they're making you struggle, you have to kind of say, it's nothing against you. You're not doing anything wrong. But I just need you to know this about me. It's something that's hard. Because there's a guy in our ministry that's so hard for him. And everybody knows it, he's told them. So people go up to him and they're like, hey, you know, it's like really quick. He just had to let them know. Same kind of thing. It's okay. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, like, for me, like before I became a disciple, like, I barely had, like, I didn't even have, like, guy relationships. Well, not even, like, friends, guy friends. So even now, it's kind of hard, but I don't know, like, where to start, you know. Because I have, like, two brothers, and, like, we don't really have that great of a relationship. Not because, like, we're mad at each other or anything, but because, like, we just don't talk.
Right.
And, like, come here, like, supposed to talk to brothers.
If you think, she said she never really had great relationships with guys, you know, and so it's still hard. Think about how you got close to sisters. I mean, sometimes studying the Bible together, things like that. But it's always talking and listening, right? Isn't it usually for us? Like, doing fun things together, being able to have conversations where you share from your life. So I think if you just look for opportunities to... You know, that's what the whole group dating is about. We're doing something fun together. But looking for opportunities, like I said, to just try talking, find out their story, get more curious. I think if you get curious about people and you're asking their story, like, how did they grow up? It's so fascinating. Even when you study the Bible with people or when you're getting to know each other in this room, we all have such different stories. And I find it fascinating to hear people's journeys, how they get to a place of faith and how they grew up. And you know, these guys, they all have stories. And if you just get curious and listen, you're going to build friendships that way. It's just deciding to be curious. How did you grow up? How did you grow up? What was your family like? You start getting a picture of how they grew up. And some of the ones that you want to get critical about or whatever, you start asking more questions. And you're like, oh, I mean, I remember when I met my husband's family, and I was like, now I understand certain things about you. Yeah, that's interesting, right? It's true. You even meet each other's families and you're like, oh, I see where you get your silliness from. It's just like your mom, you know. It's funny.